A quick note before the podcast starts. We had to record at Huge in the green room, and so you will hear a lot of background noise of groups on the stage rehearsing.
It was the Sensitive Men.
Bastards.
Just lost all of our lights for a long time, but let's get them back on.
So and let's make them red. Let's make them all red. God, we have fun. Don't we have fun?
Did you see the message that we're butchless?
Yes, I did. Yeah, no, I did. Butch. I didn't see it. I was like, oh, funny. You and I get to talk about DCIF. We can do it.
Yeah.
We can do it.
Well, I just told them we can do man job.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long have you guys all been doing
a 5-minute job?
Well, I guess that, yeah, that, or improv in general.
Those are two big different questions.
Have you been doing 5-minute job?
I started together when I got back from New York, so that would have been 2008.
And I started in 2004.
5-minute job.
5-minute job. And then we met.
We'd known each other probably around that time.
Yeah, like kind of yeah. Through Go-Go. Like, how did we officially meet? Do you remember the first time
no.
you ever laid eyes on me?
Well, that's a loaded way to put it. Yes, I remember the second I laid eyes on you.
I remember the first time we ever hung out, just the two of us.
When was that?
You were like, I'm bored. You want me to make you dinner?
Wait,
and it was at that cool apartment you had with Shanez. And Shanez had to do something, and I was
yes,
like, fuck him,
yes,
you
I remember that
dinner.
Now, yeah.
And he made me like a nice pasta.
All right, so that would have been
we
like
had a chat.
2005-ish.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah, I mean, we must have met through Go-Go and stuff.
That's the time when we clicked over from like acquaintance to like actual friends. You know, there's always that one. Mm-hmm. Should we be recording? This is cool.
I am actually recording.
Oh, you are?
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Way to destroy the flow.
Real. But you know, there's that moment when there's like that golden moment where you like you meet somebody and you're like, oh, I like that guy mm-hmm. or that gal, and then you're like, hey, good to see you, party friends, and then you're like out at the bar friends or whatever,
yeah,
whatever you guys do, and then you click, you have that one moment where you're like, let's be real friends.
I've been pretty mm-hmm. aggressive in my past with some people in the improv
like,
community where it's just like, you and I, we're hanging out
yeah.
tonight.
You came and got me. Why. You were yeah. like, let's do this. Let's make this happen. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. I don't have any. Is it okay?
Yep.
Sorry. I don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, it was like serendipitous. Yeah, that's like.
Then we did these. Real, do you remember when you first got that? It was like when GarageBand first came out, and yeah. we thought it was like the funniest. And then we were like, I was like, lasers.
I have that song. I have that song. It's called.
Oh God! Send it to him so you can attach it to the.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's actually it was created by a bunch of improvisers.
Yeah.
It was you and me and Joe and Dan.
Dan.
And
Hetzel, yeah.
So Joe Bozick, Dan Hetzel.
And Joe yeah. Bozick, and who, I feel like there's somebody else involved too, but.
Yeah, it was like one other guy.
We were talking about Gnarls Barkley at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're like, oh, let's make our own thing. And it was, and we called it Merkel Jordan.
Merkel Jordan.
Merkel Jordan. But it was a song that we all made, and each one of us, like, it's like all the stock,
something.
Like, here's a stock beat from GarageBand, you know, and we would do that, and then somebody said lasers, and somebody said
that was me,
synthesizer, or something, yeah. and like,
oh. And then Dan was like, hit the beat. Or yep. hit the bass. Yep.
Here come the drums. Something like that.
Yeah.
If you do listen to it, this is all going to be.
Yeah. It'll be very self-explanatory.
But yeah, we
Who
all got together.
Who else was in it? Shanice, maybe? No.
No. I think it was just. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I'm going to go home and find that now.
I wish you have it there.
It's somewhere on my computer, don't
you? Yeah. Anyway, we have fun. Oh, gosh, we have fun. God, we have a good time.
Lauren and Butch and Nels, we just have some. Oh, wait a minute. Where's?
Yeah, Butch is gone.
Yeah, it's a. Today it's, well, I guess a four-man job.
Oh. Yeah. Just man
four
job.
Of us
just
man job. Yeah, I know. It's just man job.
Well, five man jobs, three.
Mm-hmm. Three. And Butch counts can never. Four of the men.
Because without him, it's just a man job.
Just man job without
Butch.
Oh, I
Butch. Guess. I don't know.
Who's man and who's job?
Or is it just he's because five. There's three words and he's just the five?
That's the way I thought of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like five man job. There's three. So let's just say one word off.
Okay.
Man job.
Do you want to be man or do you want to be a job?
Let's find out.
I feel like people sexualize it if I'm the job.
Sexualize it.
So it's safe for you to
I
be man?
But yeah, what?
Is it safer for you to be man?
Well, yeah, if I'm the man.
I'm tired of being sexualized as a man.
Yeah, so you
so
should be job.
I'll be the job, yeah.
Well, Nels is kind of the workhorse, and I'm kind of the... Just kidding. I'm making this up. I don't...
Just kidding.
And then Butch is like in five different places. So I guess that kind of
makes
sense.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing good work here on Next at Bat.
Yeah, people still ask us, even though Five Man Job's been around for 100 years.
Where are your other two members?
Yeah. They're like, who are the other two?
It's like Ben Folds vibe.
Yeah. We're like, no. It's a quote. It's a quote from
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
This will be a five man job.
This will be a five man job. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we like to think that we. Although, do you guys want to hear my funny story about when I first joined Five Man Job? So in 2001.
Nobody answered.
Well, don't even.
She was talking to the audience. It's interactive.
Hey everybody.
I mean, yeah. Yes, I do.
when I first joined Five Man Job in 2001 or 2002. The Playmate of the Year was named Lauren Anderson, and she, you guys are all like going back to your mental.
No, I'm banks. Just trying to remember if
you
I.
You guys all tipped your heads.
No, I'm remembering that I've heard this story again.
And you went, yeah, you've definitely.
And
heard
also,
it.
I remember Lauren Anderson, the Playmate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was going back there for a second.
So when I first joined Five Man Job, they put me up on the website, and then so there was all these like. So I would show up when you Googled it, like Lauren Anderson at Five Man Job. Yeah. So our improv website got like 100,000 hits, like so crazy. And then I just want to like, I just wish I had like a hidden camera of how disappointed all those dudes were. They're like, what the fuck is,
what
this?
Is this?
How do I get to it? I can't get to it.
Oh, but this is way funnier.
I know.
There's only three of them. Doesn't make sense.
What do those other dudes do? That's not Lauren Anderson.
They're just blinking.
I disappointed so many guys that day.
Also, the website thing happened.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, American man. And abroad, I guess.
Wait, abroad or abroad?
Abroad, like abroad.
International. There's probably women who are searching for Lauren Anderson, too.
Yeah, but probably not as many.
Statistically,
just a,
probably.
Just a broad.
Just a broad.
Yeah, just a
who
broad.
Is not an American, so it was an abroad. Abroad.
So, segue.
Hey.
When did you guys start doing improv? I guess I don't know.
I started in, I graduated college in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, I just aged myself. I outed myself. And then I started. Improvising. The college I went to believed improv was like a tool.
Mm-hmm.
For my degrees in theater, and mm-hmm. they believed that improv was like a tool, but they didn't think it could survive as an art form unique unto itself.
Whole college had that point.
Yeah,
of view.
Like the chairman of the theater department was like, improv is a fantastic tool and I think there's value in it, but I don't think it's a performance. I don't think it's for performance. So and we would butt heads, we go round and round about it.
So
yeah.
That totally different discussion, but that fascinates me.
The first college I have a theater degree also.
Yeah.
I went to two different ones. And the first college I went to thought improv was bullshit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, thought it was. Yeah.
See, we improvised all the time. Like, in all of our acting classes, we did a ton of improv, but they didn't think it was worthwhile. So I was like, fuck it. When I graduated, I moved back here, and I grew up going to the Brave New Workshop. And then, so I took classes there immediately. And then after my first class, I think they gave me a scholarship for the rest of the classes.
Cool.
And then when I you know, went through all the classes, then I immediately started teaching there. And I taught for like 2 years, and I did a bunch of like student, sorry, for those of you out there, I hit my nose into the microphone, or my hand into my mouth.
She's trying to get the words into the microphone as hard as she can.
Like shoving them into the, I don't know how these work. So then I did like student showcases. I did a student showcase, and then I did like a student sketch. There was a student sketch group called Brave New Others, and then I just kept auditioning. I auditioned for them like twice, and then I got cast. And then I've been doing, right when I started, Butch Roy was my very first improv teacher, and then he taught three levels over at the Brave New Workshop. So my very first class, he was like, we're starting this new thing called Improv-A-Go-Go. It starts next Sunday, so you all should come. And then he told me, like, coined the phrase, the more improv you see, the better you get. And I believe that to be true as well, especially when you're first starting out.
Yeah.
Like, you learn as much from watching as you do from doing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see all the people apply the tenets that you're learning, but then also fuck with the tenets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you know what? It was your
throw
dad.
Throw out the window.
I had your dad in a class, and we were talking about that, and he coined, or at least now what I use, the aha moment.
Yeah.
For the first time I ever heard anybody say that. It's like,
not Oprah. My dad said aha.
Your dad said the aha moment.
That's
in
Oprah,
reference,
man.
To
my dad's referencing Oprah.
Well, they use it in reference to improv, and it was when you, as a student, go and see a show, and you see somebody, like, you're taught something, and then you see it in practice, and you're like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see what they mean now.
Yeah, and it's really, you can really tell. And that's why you see so many young improvisers, like, mimicking improvisers that they admire.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start doing stuff that they like, and they're like, oh, I want to do that. And it doesn't quite work for them, and then they drop into their more authentic self. You know what I mean? Anyway, I don't know how that was a tangent. That was an improv tangent.
Is that how you got into improv?
that's my story. I was sticking to it. But yeah, I would go to Improv Go-Go like every weekend and like just soak up every possible thing you could see.
Mm-hmm.
And then my class, we started a group that's now disbanded. But
the TED Experience?
The TED Experience. Yeah. And that was my first improv group. And then in 2004, I joined Find My Job. And then others since then, but
and then other things happen between then and now.
Many other things.
Has Five Man Job always been the same lineup?
No.
It's been very different.
The one person that's been the same has been Butch.
Yeah. In the beginning, it was, I think before you came into it, it had at least two or three different lineups, maybe.
Yeah, it started off.
Patrick
as
was in, or not?
No, it
Nick.
It was Butch and Nick Condon. And somebody else. Dan. I think Dan was always in it, too, for a while.
No, I don't think he was in the very first.
Anyway, and then Dan joined, and one of them left. And then when I first met Five Man Job, it was Butch Roy, Larry Pontius, and Dan Hetzel. And then Larry moved away, and then Patrick McIntyre joined. And then Patrick moved away, and then I joined. And then Dan moved away, and then Nels joined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I think the five, like, if Nels and I moved away, I don't think we could take Five Man Job with us.
No.
But if Butch moved away, he might take it with him.
Yeah, he's basically the.
We used to call him the Cray Master, which I guess is that muscle in a ball sack that like makes them.
The end.
You guys
that's
know this
next
about
to
your
bad,
bodies?
Everybody. Thanks for coming.
Butch tells us it's called the Cray Master, and Dan and I used to call him the Cray Master because it's like the muscle in the ball sack that like retracts them and like tells your balls where to go. Like, so if it's cold out, it like sucks it in. But that's that muscle. And I was like, what the hell? I never heard of that muscle before. And he's like, well, Butch is like, well, you don't have balls, so how would you know? And I was like,
nobody's heard of that muscle
like,
before.
I don't own a BMW, but I know what one is. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
slight. slightly different, but
well, yeah. No, but pretty,
no, but
I
never heard of that before. I never heard that before.
You, yeah, so
and I have balls, and I don't know.
Do
what that
you
is.
Though? Yeah,
I
do you though?
I do. I have a crate master too. Apparently.
Apparently. Oh. Anyway, it's pretty.
So
hot.
Yeah, no, the lineup has ball sack muscle. No, the lineup has been different a lot.
Nels, when did you start improv?
I think I finally just did, just now.
It finally made sense.
It all makes sense now, yeah. I started in 1995 when I was in high school. There was Comedy Sports used to be on 20th and Hennepin. Mm-hmm. It was in what is now the Beat Coffee House. It was called the Limelight Theater at the time, and Comedy Sports was playing there. And there was I'll make this as concise as possible. There was a guy who owned it, who ran it at the time, who was he wasn't doing good things, and not paying performers and just sort of like some sketchy stuff. And so a large percentage of the cast got together and said, "Well, we don't think you're running Comedy Sports correctly, so we're leaving. We're all walking out." And they ended up taking the license with them. And the guy had the theater still. So he was like, "All right, well, I'll just keep everything here. I'll keep the three players who were loyal to my company, and we're going to rename it Comedy Olympics with an X and just paint the sign." So they did that, and then they had these auditions where they auditioned and took basically anybody who showed up. And I was one of those people.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You were a scab?
I was, and
an
I didn't know at the time.
Scab.
Yeah, and it's funny, as I've you know, we talked about this a lot. At the time, it was some of the people who were on the Comedy Sports side of it were Jill, Eric
Michael
Noble,
Ritchie.
Michael Ritchie, James Moore.
Yeah, because I used
Doug
to watch
Doug Nethercott,
them.
Like all, yeah, all these yeah. people from Comedy
Brian
Sports.
Kelly.
Brian Kelly, yeah. Excuse me. And
Nels is nervous.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble. No, like, and we talked about it since, and it's funny because there's always sort of this weird rivalry. Like, I always knew who, like, Eric Noble was, but I never met him before, and I was like, "You're probably the enemy," even though, and then, like, I'm working for this guy, and then I'm starting to realize, like, oh, yeah, he is stealing money from us. That's weird.
Scandal.
And, yeah, it was very scandalous. So that's how I got into improv, and then throughout all of that, Comedy Sports was suing, or the people that left. I don't know the exact details. Jill would be a better person to talk about this because it was Jill Bernard et al. Versus this guy, because alphabetically her name was first, so she was on. So unfortunately, she was at the top of the list. But there was this legal thing back and forth where, you know, they're trying to get the theater, and they took the license, and then eventually he just gave the theater back, and so we all just sort of walked away, and we're like, all right. And at that time, I was about to go off to college, so I was like, all right, well, I'll see you guys later.
Wow.
So that was how I would not have hired me. I definitely wouldn't have hired me. Like, I just got up on stage and played Comedy Sports games, and he hired many, many underage people to perform and work.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like 14-year-olds?
Yes. I was 17. My best friend at the time also got in. He was 17. Another really good friend of mine, we ended up being good friends. He was 17, and then another guy was 14 at the time when he got hired.
Man.
Jeez.
Which,
wow.
He's not, I mean, Comedy Sports, not, you know, they have high school leagues, and like, you can't, it's a job. Like, you can't work before you're 18. You know?
Yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, like, there was like labor law, like child labor laws. Okay. Like, you can't work after 8 o'clock at, you know, as a 14-year-old or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it was, but it was all very sketchy.
Yeah.
But that is how I got into it, and then that led into some of the people in the group. One of the guys had taken classes at I.O. and Second City in Toronto, and he's like, "Hey, this is short form, but there's this thing called long form." And he picked a couple of us that he liked, and we all got together and started rehearsing long form. And then that happened, and he started a group called the Drunk Baby Collective in about 1998, and we started doing long form improv. And
fun fact. One of the members of the Drunk Baby Collective was my first, the TED Experiences coach.
Oh, Scott.
Scott Zilka, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a very small community back then, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where
he's
it all
good
started.
Dude.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
My big fan moment with Nels, before I really knew him, is he used to do a duo with a guy named Joel.
Joel was the 14-year-old.
Was he?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. He's that young?
Well, I mean, he was 2 years younger than, I mean, he's... He's only 2 years younger than me, but I mean, like, at the time,
you were 17, he was 14.
Well, he turned 15, like, a couple months later.
Okay. All right, get your math right, Lennis.
He's 14 when we got it. Anyway, yeah, he was the 14-year-old.
But that dude was these guys were funny. Like Nels and Joel were like, they were like somebody to watch. Like mm-hmm. every time they went up on stage, we were like, oh, we got to get in there for Nels and Joel. And they just did weird, like touching, like great improv.
I think our name is on the poster in the way in the back of the theater, yeah. the first ISP project mm-hmm. or whatever. I think we performed at that. Yeah, Joel is a very funny guy. One of my good friends.
So you guys do...
And that's
Alex
started improv. Sorry, you were going to ask a question?
You're going to segue?
I was.
Seg it up.
So
Craymaster that shit.
Lead us!
Pull us back.
So you guys do a herald,
mm-hmm.
and it's a 3-person herald team. You don't see a lot of those. Most herald teams are 6 to 8. How did you guys decide to stick with 3? Why did you decide to stick with 3?
Well, Five-Man Job, for as long as I've done it, has always done a herald.
Right.
And that's kind of our main structure. We'll deviate for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we generally do like old school, like herald style, mm-hmm. have an opening, usually a rant of some sort, games, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll change it up, but...
It's always come back to herald or something like that.
Yeah. We used to do something called the Mega Herald, where we would do... Super Herald, where we would do 3 heralds and then they would all herald. It was epic. So it would
and
be
how
like,
many minutes?
It was as good as it sounded.
they were pretty cool.
It was fun, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But like, yeah, we would try it. We would try all that stuff.
In 25 minutes or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeez. And it was Fast and Furious. Yeah. When Joe Bill first saw our group, this before Nels joined, he would call us Twitch Prof. Like it was like fast, like yeah. coked up. Like we didn't do coke, for the record. That I sound like I'm joking, but I'm not. My tone is weird, but we didn't do coke.
But you coke, sound like you're on coke, denying that you're doing coke.
I know. No, but like real fast improv. And it was cool that way, I guess. And then over the years, we've gotten older.
And then Nels joined and everybody just sort of like...
We all just relaxed
a little bit. You know,
put some arm floaties on and just...
I am kind of the in-between between you guys, though, don't you think?
The in-between...
Between you and Butch.
I would say I would be the in-between between you and Butch.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what... I'm thinking like energy-wise. Or not the in-between, but like... we're all our own...
If Butch is twitchy, that means I'm like asleep?
No, I guess I'm thinking of it more of like we're all... Each one of us is our own Cray Master in their own way. But because we were talking about this the other week about how like we've all improvised every iteration of Five Man Job. Like
yeah.
It's been me and you, me and Butch, you and Butch,
mm-hmm.
you know, like everything. And they're all so, so different,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. And sometimes we're like, you know what, let's just hang loose and do a montage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed that our sets were never as good or up to par as we'd like them to be. And one day we just had like a nice discussion. We're like, what's going on? Why can't we get there in a montage? And we figured it out. Like we need the 3 of us need a job to do.
Mm-hmm. We need a goal.
Yeah. And that actually opened us up. So we're like, when you do the herald, there's actually a lot of room to room in the structure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I teach, I call it like limit to free. Mm-hmm. So you like limit your options to free up your mind. Mm-hmm. So when, and I always give the same example of like, if you gave a blank sheet of paper to a third grader and you were like, draw anything you want, 9 times out of 10, they would ask you, what should I draw?
Mm-hmm.
But if you give a blank sheet of paper and get to a third grader and you were like, draw the coolest thing that you saw last summer, they take a minute mm-hmm. to think and they would draw something. And then you would get 30 sheets of paper back and one would be like, a roller coaster, another one would be like my first bra, and like, mm-hmm. like Not that you wear bras in third grade, but they'd see a bra.
They'd see one. Sure.
And then I would say like a decapitated cat, because one time on my, I was biking a dance rehearsal and I saw a decapitated cat underneath the railroad.
And you drew it?
And I drew it.
Did you draw it before it happened and then it happened?
No, that would be scary. But I did have to go talk to my teacher. Anyway, but like, you know, that's the pictures. So wonderfully specific. And all I did was limit my options a little bit, make it specific. And I feel like that's what the Herald does for us.
Yeah, we're like the Avengers. Like, if left to their own devices, they fight with each other.
Yeah.
But then when they have a goal, then they turn into a good movie.
And you know what's pretty kick-ass about a three-person Herald is you're always busy.
Like, yeah, that's true. You're never, you never can take a second off.
You're never out of a scene, right?
I think that's why I like doing duos a lot, too. Like, duos, I feel, and then when 5-Minute Job tackles a Herald or some other, like, harder structure, I feel like
when we did Man Job, we decided, we're like, what would be hard and impossible for two people to do.
We did a two-person La Ronde, which was super fun.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, it really worked.
It worked. Oh. It was fun. And I would want to do it again, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, but, you know, you're always, to answer your question, like, we're not in every scene, but you kind of are always a part of everything that's going on. And then by the time you get to, like, sort of the last final beat, and this is something that, I don't know, I find myself doing, and I like it. Maybe that's why I do it. Like, in that final beat, where it's just, like, the three of us are all out in the scene, and by dint of us just being the people who made the Herald, we're all the characters we've seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just kind of, like, swapping in the middle of the scene, turning your character into a different thing, because we're all there, and this is the third beat, so we're all squishing it together, you know.
Right.
There's nobody else to come in and add anything to it. And that's one of the challenges I really like, and like you said, I think that's one of the things that narrows our focus and narrows our view, and like, we're in it together, you know.
I feel some of, like, you know, the expression, like, out of your head or in your head or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel really out of my head when I'm doing a two-person or a three-person, like, Herald. Because you don't have the option to, like, overthink or, like, I should jump in or whatever. You just go because you have to go.
Yeah.
And you want to go.
And that's the death of so many forms. And, like, it's something you probably talked to the score and the Evente about where it's, like, those in particular were, like, really specific and sometimes kind of difficult forms.
Yeah.
And the ironic thing is the death of a form is worrying about the form.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like,
it's true.
Being
it's
able to put yourself, like, a two-person structure, you know, like, they did it with 9 people or whatever, but, like, with 2 people, you don't have a chance. Like, you just have to be there all the time doing stuff, and you don't have a chance to sort of, like, think, should I do this? Is this right? Is this the right way to do it? Which is, you've already lost, you know, at that point.
So is the idea get to know the form well enough where you can forget about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
I'd say so. And,
get to know the form well enough to understand what the point is, not what the form is.
Okay.
Like, what is this supposed to do?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. So now, you know, like,
I like to think of, like, the Herald or any other, like, more structured form as, like, a jacket. You put on a jacket to wear it, but you don't all day long think about, like, this jacket that I have on. Like, well, depends. Can I do it in a jacket? Like, you don't do that. You put your jacket on, you wear your jacket, and your jacket helps you, your jacket protects you, and sometimes you can take your jacket off if you need to, which is also something that, like, you know,
interesting.
You can fuck with your form if you want. Like,
do you
want
to hear my analogy? It's like, because I like yours. I use sports or military like that. Like, you train for a situation.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you're like in baseball, somebody hits you a ground ball and you're like, all right, I pick up and I throw it to first. You know? Mm-hmm. And like, all right, you're not, when you're in the game, you're not thinking like, if this exact literal thing happens that I practiced in practice happens, then I know what to do. You just sort of, you train yourself to be in a situation and you understand the point is that you want to throw the person out at first and you have the skills and the tools to do that as opposed to just going through the motions correctly.
Right.
It's not about the motions. It's about the product.
Yeah. Both really good.
We're both
analogies.
really good
good teachers.
That's good. Like,
if you want to know anything about improv, ask. But yeah, I love that structure, and I like performing it with 5-Minute Job for sure.
It's so important too. I mean, and here at Huge, like we've done a lot of genre stuff,
but, and a lot of narrative.
And it's and that's fine. That's great. It's just nothing. Nothing will ever replace scene work. And
yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, like that is what is important. And sometimes you get away from that. So it's. I feel like it's really important to continue doing things like the Herald, and not. It's not about like what's a really cool, fun, creative thing we can do. Because really, I would watch a really good improviser do the exact same basic form forever.
Yeah.
Because they're good at improv. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it's infinite possibilities.
Exactly. Exactamundo, to quote Fonzie.
Let's talk about TGIF.
Has Fonzie been quoted yet on your podcast?
Not. Well, he hasn't been credited.
Again, you're welcome. He hasn't been. Yeah, I guess Fonzie
I can't take credit for that. That was Arthur Fonzarelli.
Yeah.
I mean, there are several people who say, "Hey."
And a bunch of people who give thumbs up, but you can't see that. Yeah.
And there are several jukeboxes
hit.
Yep. But let's talk about TCIF. That's coming up, and you guys...
It's happening.
It's happening.
Tomorrow.
Like tomorrow.
Actually, let's...
Well, when you...
Let's talk to the audience, as if, because it's this is coming out tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So there you go.
TCIF is happening today.
Tonight. Come see it tonight.
It's happening right now.
Or it happened already because you're listening to this podcast late.
All right, so something, this might blow. Like, what if something really enormous happens in the news between now and then? And you listen to this and you're like, those guys had no idea that this happened. But now it happened. But now we're listening to it tomorrow. And now we do know that it happened, but we don't know what it is that happened.
I'll call you guys and have you do it over the phone.
Sneak attack.
Anyway, yes, TCIF is happening.
I love it. But so what Nels just did is a really good example of how his brain works. And so he will do that in scenes from time to time. And then we will go there. And we're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, fuck. Now I'm going to think of this.
Oh, God. You know, that's one of my favorite things, honestly. And I tell students this all the time. Yeah. Like, you get to know, you get to improvise and you get comfortable with it. And at this point in my career, like I said, it's been, you know, 95. It's been, I don't know how many, whatever. Whatever is it that is?
18
whatever o'clock.
Is it 18 years?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
18 years. It's been 18 years.
Damn.
What's that from?
You now? Just now?
18 years.
Doesn't that 18, like 18 yeah. years? It's been 18 years.
Yeah, that's something.
It's a song.
It's a song.
I'm going to give credit to Fonzie.
Just finally, somebody did. Jeez. What was I saying? Oh, telling students at this point in my career, like as an improviser, those are the moments on stage I look for. Like, I want shit to go wrong. Yeah. I want mm-hmm. things to not make yeah. sense because of what you just said, where yeah. it's like all of a sudden you have constraints mm-hmm. and you're required to work within a certain parameter. That's when you're more creative. So yeah. it's like, please walk through my table that yeah. I just yeah. established, because then we can figure out
game.
What happened. Now yeah. it's a game. Yeah, absolutely.
Last night during Show X, which is also something Nels and I are involved in.
And Butch,
yes.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Butch hasn't said anything yet. I wish he
I know. Gone. Like, Butch, like, seriously.
He's just doing space work in the corner.
Really intricate space work. FYI, one of my favorite things about Butch, after we come off stage, he always was like, hey, did you guys know that I was the guy from the tank? Gone Back in Future, I grabbed the pillow yeah. and I was talking through the pillow. Do you guys notice that? And we're like, oh, cool, dude. That's
it's like Butch is improvising good. With us, and then like one more person that lives in his
yeah.
brain.
He's yeah. Or he's making callbacks that are like so intricate and nuanced that like he knows what he's doing.
He's really appreciating it. Yeah.
And when he tells us, when we get off stage, we're like, that's awesome. That was awesome. I love that about Butch. It's my favorite.
Or when he pulls the juice box out of thin air.
Yes.
Or when you pull
oh,
an,
you pull
you
the
pull
juice
the juice.
Was that me?
I was there for that show.
Oh, yeah. You were good.
The look on Butch's face and when he said, Do that again.
That was especially satisfying because he's, you know, like a juggler and like yeah. a, you know, yeah. he's a
magic man.
Magic guy.
Just
so to stump him.
Clear this up for the audience, there was a scene that Lauren had made mention of juice boxes. And juice boxes had come up a few times. Lauren's playing a really sympathetic character. All of a sudden,
she brought me she brought us bag lunches.
Bag lunches
that had juice boxes in them. And all of a sudden, Nels is standing on stage with an actual juice box. And Butch looks over at him and is with a what the fuck expression on his face and takes it, throws it over the wall, and everybody hears it explode. Or at least we think it explodes. And says, "Do that again."
I literally had no idea what was happening. Like, I've never been that shocked in an actual...
There's a video. We have the video.
You
but
do?
I watched. Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, God. We keep all the videos, you know, on the camera. And
oh,
I watched it, and the first thing out of Bush's mouth was, just staring.
And I had my back to them because I was like sitting in the front of the helicopter or whatever we were in.
Yeah, it was a wooden helicopter.
It was a wooden helicopter. Made in a prison
and
wood shop.
And I hear this like crinkle, crinkle because the straw is still attached to the thing. And I like turned around and he's got a real juice box in his hand. And I was like, how did we go? I don't.
Transubstantiation.
I'm getting all, I'm gesturing too hard.
No, you're fine. You can't. Hurt this.
So yesterday in Show X, we to piggyback on what Nell said 100 years ago, like I came out and I was like really cool car, like I love your Monte Cristo, and I got tagged out, and I swear to God, I thought for everything. What am I saying? I thought for sure that I had said Monte Carlo, and then Tim tagged me out, and he was like. And he was a car dealer, and he's like, "Now you could take the Monte Carlo, or you can drive this sandwich on you." And then James, obviously, and then we double back into it, and then the whole town is driving
sandwiches
and fruits and vegetables, and Jill just drove an olive around. You
know, so. Seems appropriate.
But like it was, and that became kind of like a beautiful, you know, that's the stuff we all geek on. That's why we do improv.
Yeah, games, right. Finding patterns.
Yeah, finding patterns, doing the silliest shit and like making it work. And
I went to a restaurant and they spelled both words in Monte Cristo wrong.
Really?
It drove me insane.
Like Monty, like Monty Python?
It was like, no, it was like M-O-N-T-I.
Monty?
Yeah, C-H-R-I-S, like Cristo. Like,
C-H-R-I. Like, that's how you think C-H.
Or no, C-R-I-S-T.
C-R, like the Greek.
Like the mountain. No, C-R-I-S-T-O, like the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
They spelled it C-H-R-I-S-T-O.
Like, oh, like Chris.
Cristo, the restaurant down Christo. The street. Christ, yeah, Christo is like the cereal.
So nothing's Greek, is what you're telling me.
It's a car, Lauren.
Hold on.
It's a sandwich car. It's not that hard.
You guys, where am I? Who are you?
So TCIF.
TCIF, yes. That's happening
guys,
right now.
You guys are the producers of it.
Currently.
Yep. And you guys have been from the beginning, yes?
It was a 5-man job endeavor from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5-man job and mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Like Improv Go Go is also technically a 5-man yes. job endeavor too.
We've been doing this was our 7th year of doing it. Mm-hmm. After the success of Improv Go Go, Butch's dream was always to like, I want to produce a festival again. And there was
which was really bold because they
very
were
very bold because the last time they tried to
I remember the one previous to the very first TCIF, which was in 98 or something. Yeah, it was 2007, was that the first one or 6?
I don't remember. It's all a blur.
It was a while. It was a while after the first or the one that was I think the second of those of that generation. So it was a big gap between that and then what 5-man job put together.
So anyway, so he's like, I want to bring it back. We're going to do it differently. We're going to give it a try. And the Brave New Workshop was nice enough to like give us their theater for the weekend. So the Brave New Workshop went dark for the weekend, and we put up a festival. And the very first year, it was just magic. It was like magic happened. We were all gunning for it. Everybody wanted it. We had really great people come.
Who was in the first year? I'm trying to remember.
I know. You know what? I don't even know.
Was it Mick Napier?
Yeah, Mick Napier.
He was the first. Yeah, so that would have been 2007 then.
McNapier, author of Improvise, like, and
founder of the Annoyance.
And and we had some, we had a bunch of teachers, and everything just kind of fell into place. And then with this, we could kind of showcase this like community we were building. And then the people that came had fun. And I think we talk about this a lot, but one of the things that's so distinctive about Minnesota Improv is that a lot of people here are about the art of it. And that art and that community spirit is very apparent here. And so when people come, they have a pretty joyful experience because they feel welcome, and then they feel like, oh, here's some people doing art for art's sake.
Jill was just talking about that on the podcast we did with her the other day.
So yeah, it is kind of a, and Jill knows best because Jill travels all around, and Jill knows a lot of people from around the world that do improv. And the kind of our reputation, which I'm very proud of, is that if you come to our festival, you're gonna have fun, you will feel welcome, and you'll see,
and it's a good festival. It was a lot of people remarked that it was put together and run very well.
Clap on our backs.
I remember that very specifically because in the late 90s when I was doing the long form improv, we hit a ton of festivals. And ran the whole gamut of like, oh, this is a really well put together fun festival. And then this one was like, this was just a huge pain in the ass.
As somebody that's traveled, like when I first started improvising, five-man job, went to a bunch of different festivals. And so you got to see kind of how everybody rolls. And like, there's very small communities, very new communities, very established communities, and everything's a little bit different. It's really cool to see. But Minnesota has, I'm proud of that rep. And so this year we added a day. So it used to just be Thursday through Sunday, and then Sunday was like a special Improv-a-go-go, like TCIF version of Improv-a-go-go.
Local showcase, because most of the out-of-town people they couldn't stick around for Sunday night.
And now it's framing, kind of like almost like in a go-go night at the beginning.
Yeah, we start off with it's like a special Huge Wednesdays almost. And then a special go-go.
So, and this year, Five Man Job is going to kick off the festival.
Tonight.
That feels weird to say. Tonight we're going to do it.
Yeah, it's all local.
Because Show X was two nights ago.
Yes, that's right.
Brain explosion.
Well, I think now's the time in the show where we throw the questioning over to Philip Simondet for our brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner.
Philip's Corner.
Welcome to Philip's Corner, everybody. My name is Philip. This is my corner. I'm going to do a quick one so we can get moving. Cool. So quick questions, quick answers, awkward questions, amazing answers.
Okay.
No pressure.
Philip, are you still going to stare awkwardly?
Yes. In case you don't know, this is where I stare at you awkwardly and think of a question. Nels.
Correct.
What was the first wristwatch you ever owned?
The first wristwatch I ever owned was a Mickey Mouse wristwatch, and it was featured prominently in my elementary school basketball picture pose, where you're holding the basketball, and your picture gets put on a button, and it's me holding the basketball with my hands up in the air, and a Mickey Mouse wristwatch right there.
You didn't take that off for sports?
Hell no. I was showing it off. And my rec specs, too. I was quite the specimen when I was younger.
Are rec specs the ones that could bend all the way?
They're the plastic glasses that are, like their headband. Oh my God. It's a headband, but they're glasses at the same time.
If I could.
They're the thing that gets you punched, basically, when you're small. So,
awesome. That's so awesome.
Lauren.
Yes.
This is the awkward part.
Okay.
Which way would you go if you were lost in the woods? How would you find your way home?
Oh, man. I'd probably try and trace my steps. I mean, so whatever way that would be, I'd try and go up if it rained. Like up if it flooded.
You go where the rain comes from.
Yeah. I go to the rain. I don't run from the rain. That's how badass I am. I create lightning.
Lauren runs it directly.
Which way
up.
Would I go? That's okay. That's hard. You need a simple answer. I would go toward. I need
an amazing answer, Lauren.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
It was okay. Otherwise, Phillips Corner is a failure yet again.
I would go towards the gold.
Oh. See, everyone's always concerned about safety. You go towards the gold.
Yeah. Yeah, I would find something golden and I would go towards it because chances are gold can mean money or caution. Either thing is good if you don't have direction.
It can also mean winning.
Exactly. Exactly. This is awkward. I haven't felt this weird.
I just want to read the transcript of what you just said.
It makes sense.
Go to the gold because it could mean
money or caution. So, like, when bears or like murderers see it, they'd be like, "Oh, better not do that."
Bears or murderers,
right?
The forest of bears and murderers.
Why do they have to be exclusive? They could be murdering bears.
That's true. I mean, there's opportunities for all things.
It's forest. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen in the forest. I want another one.
That means I have to look at you awkwardly again.
Oh, I don't know if I'll survive.
Lauren.
Yes.
What's your favorite condiment?
Miracle Whip.
One of the best pictures I have of you is you framed by a plethora of condiments.
Yeah.
Remember that picture?
Yeah, I look like a mountain.
That's a good picture. Yeah. You don't look like a mountain.
Like in a good way. Like, oh, cool, Lauren Mountain. Not like, I'm not being... I'm not being self-deprecating.
Oh, cool, Lauren Mountain.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. It's funny that you asked that because I really, really do like that picture. And it's just like ketchup and mustard. I was at a diner or something.
Yeah. And you were like, wait, stay there.
It might have been my first and only like Instagram photo.
Really?
No, I think so.
I said Miracle Whip because I use it the most. I mean, it's not very exciting, but I do like it. And I just have to own that.
What's the difference between that and mayo? Isn't it like
Miracle
kind of
Whip's
the same
got
thing?
A tangy zip. I don't know if you have heard the commercials.
Is it just mayo with a tangy zip?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a little sweeter. Yeah.
What do you put it on?
You can put it in sandwiches, make tuna with it. Tuna fish.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. That's how tuna sandwiches are made.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't have a lot of people like, oh, fucking gross. I never do that. But there are also the people that put grapes in their tuna salad.
Nasty.
You know, there are people out there that do these things.
Incorrect.
Everybody, to tuna.
You're wrong.
The mighty tuna, one of the fastest, strongest fish,
I had
gets
some today.
Reduced to grapes.
Reduced to grapes.
Reduced.
Sorry.
That's a perfect summation of Phillips Corner.
That wasn't...
Reduced to grapes. That's kind of nice. I like the way that sounds.
All right, that's Phillips Corner. Thank you,
sir. Yeah, thanks, Phillips.
All right, you guys ready to do a little improv?
Woo.
Sure. Next up, Pat!
Gail.
Yeah?
Gail.
Yeah?
Gail.
Yeah.
Gail.
What?
Gail.
I'm right here.
Gail. I have several secrets for you.
Okay.
Choose one.
The first one.
The first secret is that I didn't go to work today.
What the hell?
I know, right?
Okay. I have a secret for you.
Okay. I choose that one. I gave you a choice, so I figured.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a secret and then I have something you kind of know.
Okay. Go.
Which one?
The secret.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I went to your work today. Yeah. I did your job for you.
Oh my gosh, this segues very nicely into secret number 5.
Don't you want to know why I went to work for you?
Do you want to know what secret number 5 is?
Well, of course, but...
All right, you first, and then I'll tell you secret number 5.
Okay, I went to work for you because I threw you a surprise party.
And I know that because secret number 5 is I was shadowing you the whole time.
What?
Yes!
Honey, I love us.
I love us too. But it's wait, like you get secrets me. 2 through 4.
What?
Those are going to hurt.
No. Yes. Okay, give me 2.
2?
Yeah,
like
number
2. 2 of them or number 2?
Well, I want all 4 of them, but okay. First start with number 2.
Number 2 is I went way over my points for the day and I had McDonald's breakfast.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
And your body forgives you.
Thank you.
And what's your plan for tomorrow?
To make that priority number 1.
Okay.
That was secret number 2.
To make it priority number 1?
No, secret number 2 is that I went over my points. And
Priority number 1
for tomorrow is to make it up that to myself.
And that's not a secret.
No, that's public information at this point.
All right. I want to know 3 and 4.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm born ready.
You may not like these.
I was born 2 weeks early.
What?
That's how ready I am.
You were?
Of course.
When were you going to tell me that secret?
Well, that's a later time secret.
Well, now it's a now time secret now.
Well, it is technically a later secret, but in the past.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Love us.
I love us.
Oh, we make so much sense.
You're the only person that gets me.
Except that's secret number 3.
What?
More people get you.
What?
Besides me.
But I journal all the time and nobody asks to read it.
And that's secret number 4.
What?
Everybody reads it. I've sent it out to the internet. I mailed it to the internet and it'll be up soon.
Oh my, you get me. I love us.
So I was reading this lady's diary and I really get her.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that too this morning.
You were reading it?
Totally get her.
Yeah.
I feel like I know her inside and out.
Yeah, I feel like I do too. And I was thinking about actually traveling to Detroit to meet her.
You read my mind, Tom.
Really?
Yeah, let's road trip it.
You want to road trip with me?
Hell yeah.
Oh man, you get me.
I've been reading your journal.
You have?
Yeah.
I've always wanted somebody to read my journal.
Well, I mean, you leave it in that unlocked drawer in your desk.
That's why I leave it unlocked.
I figured you wanted me to read it.
I wanted somebody to read it. I appreciate that it's you.
Well, I have been. Whenever you leave for lunch, I take my lunch in your office and I read it and I get you. I get you, Tom.
You get me.
Yeah.
I think I get you too.
I should hope so. I've been leaving notes. On the back side of every journal entry, I leave my own entry. Have you not been reading it? My anti-reverse journal to you?
Man, I'm terrible.
You haven't been reading my anti-reverse journal to you, Tom?
No.
I don't know if this road trip's a good idea.
I'm not good at understanding other people, but I really wanted to be understood by them.
Well, you understand this internet journal lady.
I do.
Because you actually read her stuff. You care about her, I guess.
Well, it was electronic. It's easy to read.
Hey, you guys, I'm sorry. I was just overhearing you. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
What's up?
That's okay.
I was just emptying the trash.
What's up?
I feel like you guys get me, even though we haven't met. I'm just a janitor here, but yeah. I just listen to you guys, and I just feel like if we got into a car together and went to Detroit together, I feel like something could happen.
Oh, you want to go to Detroit with us?
Well, that's what made me come out. I heard the word Detroit, and I was like, I got to get over and talk to these guys, and then I overheard you guys talking, and I was like, I can't even explain it. I don't know what you read on the internet, but it just sounds like...
You don't know about the journal lady on the internet?
No.
You know, I've always appreciated the way that my trash was empty whenever I needed it to be, and I felt like you really understood my trash needs.
And there's a weird thing is when I empty the trash, I know this is going to sound weird, but I put the trash out, and I'm like, this guy's going to get it.
I did.
He's just going to get it.
I did get it. I totally understood.
Oh, this feels so right. It hurts.
That's exactly what I needed you to say. I feel like you get me.
Wait, hold on a second. Mazda Miata.
I've got one.
I'm going to go start it.
Oh. Oh.
You gotta go left.
Oh.
You got to go to the left.
Oh.
You're trying to get out of the forest. You got to go left.
Would you look at that?
You got to take a left.
Here I am thinking I'm going to get out of the forest this way.
Oh.
And I didn't.
Oh.
Oh my!
Hey,
yeah.
Look up here.
Yeah, I see you.
All right, so if you're looking up here,
were you tapping the tree for some sap?
Yeah.
God,
very observant of you.
I love sap.
What? Which?
I don't even like to. I don't like. I don't call it syrup. I call it sap.
I call it sap too.
Thank you.
I eat it like it's syrup. We're having a moment, aren't we?
I think so.
I don't even know you.
I like your ear flaps.
Hey, don't go left.
Takes a certain... Okay.
Go up.
Here I was thinking I could get closer to seeing your face.
If you look left, You're gonna see that I've got some gold over here.
Oh!
That's why I pointed you to the left, because that's the way you're supposed to go, but I feel like we had a moment. You can go get the gold if you want, but then come
well,
up.
That was my main objective when I started out.
Hey.
But I will come back, because I want to talk about the shape of your face.
Little Skeeter, how about you give her your gold, and then we all meet in the middle, huh?
Like a Benjamin Button type thing?
Yep.
Yeah, I seen that movie. Yeah, kind of like that.
Do they all meet somewhere in the middle?
Well, for a brief moment, he was the right age to have intercourse with the woman.
Ah.
So right. I think that's what he means, but I don't think you were implying intercourse.
No,
now, were you?
No, I just meant meet in the middle.
It was
a tagline of the movie.
Yeah, meet me in the middle. I get you.
Skeeter only talks in taglines, but there are meanings behind their innuendos.
All
like
right.
Like a Cray Master. It doesn't actually, like you think you know what it means, but it actually means, it's the metaphor of what it means. That's what it means.
Man. All right, I'm going to grab this gold. Can I have your gold? Skeeter? It's Skeeter, right?
Yep.
Can I have?
You're going to have to answer his question.
You're sitting on a big pile of it. You think I could have a little bit of it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, Skeeter, man, what happened to the question?
I couldn't think of one.
You know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because I didn't have to answer a question, I'll take less gold than I originally intended. I like everything to be fair. And I'd like us to be friends after this.
I think we will. I'm done tapping this tree for sap.
You know, sap's kind of like gold. It's a golden liquid.
God damn it, you're right. Hey, Ephraim, get out of here.
What do you want now?
I'm done tapping this tree for sap, and this lady is getting gold. I think I got something going on here.
Like a friendship?
Yeah, like a friendship. This is my buddy, Ephraim.
Oh,
hi, how are you doing?
Oh, hi. I didn't even see you. You just came up right out of the left there.
That's right.
Everything's to the left in this forest.
I got the up, and then Skeeter and Ephraim got the left.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Don't go right.
Do not go right.
Ephraim, do you have a golden eye?
Well, yeah. Had to replace this eye. And all we have up here on Lord Mountain is gold, so...
Sap.
Golden sap.
Get that gold. Stick it in with the sap.
Sticky.
Wow. Well, what's to the right? What's to the right?
Oh, you do not want to go to the right.
Go to the right. Nope.
The Jabberwock in these here woods?
Do not say his name two more times.
No shit? Mm-hmm. I thought that was just some made-up thing.
No, it's a Beetlejuice situation we got going here.
Did you not see that movie? You saw Benjamin Button,
Skeeter,
but you did not see
Beetlejuice. What was the tagline of that movie?
Beetlejuice?
Oh, yeah. Now, don't say his name two more times.
What, Beetlejuice?
And Skeeter, just say the tagline quick.
Just the tagline better not have the word Beetlejuice in it.
Ah, goddammit. Oh.
Gail.
Yeah?
Gail.
What?
Gail, wake up.
Okay.
I just thought of another secret.
I'm awake. I was awake. I was reading.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I'm sorry to interrupt
you. Eyes closed. That way I can make up my own story.
Gail.
Yeah.
I just thought of another secret.
Tell me it.
I'm sorry that I interrupted your reading.
No, that's fine. I was just about to finish the chapter, but...
All right. You ready for this?
Yeah.
It's a secret.
Okay.
But now it's out in the open.
Okay.
I love you.
Oh, what?
Weird, right? Because I know I said I love you before, but this is like for real. I love you.
So before it wasn't real?
No. Well, no.
It was real for that moment.
Right.
But this is real for this moment.
But then you didn't know about it up until I said it. Oh, so it was God. A secret.
I love that you love me. It makes us love us more.
I loved everything that happened up to this point. At least I thought I did.
You didn't love what I just said?
No, well, I do now.
Oh, okay. I have a secret.
What?
I have a secret.
I was going to go back to sleep. Okay, what is it?
Oh, sorry. No, go back to bed.
No, I am sleeping right now.
You are?
I sleep with my eyes open.
All right, then I have a dream secret for you.
All right, go ahead.
That's dream speak.
I know.
God, I love us.
I love us, too. Hand hold.
Your fingers feel weird. They're wet.
Secret number 9.
Why are your fingers wet?
I put them in a bucket.
Of what?
Hair gel.
Oh, that's how they sustain the wetness?
Yes.
And it didn't dry off.
Oh, my God. Was I dreaming just then?
Morning.
Oh, hi, Gail.
Hi. Oh, I read all through the night.
I was strangest dream.
What was it? Tell me.
I had my hand in a bucket, and there was a guy who was in charge of gold and a tree sap.
You read my mind book.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know how to drive stick. I know.
It's your turn to drive, man. I've been driving the last 3 hours. I'm tired.
No,
I want to take a nap in the back.
No, it's fine. I can
figure it out.
I can drive. This is fine.
But you have to drive after him, though.
I'll drive the whole way through. It's fine. Do you mind sitting shotgun and we can just talk the whole time?
Oh, yeah. I would love that.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
And you can just sleep in the back.
I'll lay down in the back.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, man, is that guy mad at me?
I think that he's mad at me, actually, because I didn't read the notes that he had left for me. And
I came into the conversation right around that time. I know what you're talking about.
And so... he gets me, but I don't really get him. Whereas we get each other, and you guys get each other.
Right.
So there's one getting that's just not happening right now.
Oh, man, you know, usually in events like this, when everybody gets together and they've all gotten each other, it is because of a serious like event that happens. You know what I mean? Like a breaking of the ice, like a breaking of the tension. I feel like we need to do like a trust fall or something.
Okay. Should I,
Goddamn, Tom.
Should I just...
We can do a trust drive. Like, we pretend that we're asleep when we're driving, and then when he wakes up, he'll think that we're not driving.
Okay, so we should just pretend like we're sleeping right now and drive off the road?
Yeah.
And then slam on the brakes and...
Yeah.
And then make... Should we have him seatbelted or not seatbelted?
Oh, just how he is fine. Just
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do that.
All right, so...
Son of a bitch, Tom. I didn't read my reverse journal.
Oh, my leg!
Oh, my leg! What happened?
Don't take my hand. Both of you take my hand.
Let's all get out of here.
Guys, what happened? I was asleep.
We just bonded.
You bonded?
Car crash bonding.
Yep.
We're also injured.
I pre-called the ambulance.
Wait, you knew this would happen?
Yep.
You knew it happened?
You could tell that we were going to fall asleep and get injured together.
Oh. Man, he really gets us.
I know, right?
He really gets us. I get you now, too.
You guys, I got a secret.
What's your secret?
I know how to drive stick.
Why didn't you just drive then?
Exactly.
Oh,
that's just the basement.
This
you should come upstairs.
Is a great cabin.
Yeah.
Oh, and you three live here.
Yep,
sure do.
For years.
You know, has anyone ever told you, you three have the most gorgeous heart-shaped faces?
We only really hang out with each other, and so it just seems normal to have heart-shaped faces to us, so we don't really comment on it.
I suppose you don't hear gorgeous being used on men very often, but that's the only descriptor I can think of.
You hear the opposite from Beetlejuice, the D-hole, when he shows up.
Beetlejuice?
Don't just...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if you were referencing Beetlejuice or Bug Juice.
Said it twice now. This is the whole
just don't say Beetlejuice the third
time. Oh, God.
Gail.
Yes.
Gail.
Yes.
Gail.
What? I was doing a funny voice.
I know. I was laughing really hard.
You were?
I was.
Okay.
Gail, I have one
were you
more.
Keeping your laughter a secret?
What? No.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
That's just how I laugh.
Oh, okay.
I just look.
Right.
Gail.
God, I love us.
I have one more secret.
Of course.
Here he is.
Oh, okay.
Come in.
I have a delivery of secret gold for Gail.
What?
hilarious.
Oh my, that is the funniest thing.
Look at me laugh.
You have the best laugh. It like lights up the room.
Thank you, Skeeter.
Bye now.
Bye. This is amazing.
It'll help you find your light in the darkness.
I'm sorry. This is Skeeter. Skeeter Gale.
Hi.
It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What movie is that from, Skeeter?
Finding Your Light in the Darkness.
Yeah.
Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Oh, hilarious.
Bye, Skeeter.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
This gold is amazing.
And it's not my final secret.
What?
That was a lie secret.
What?
I have another secret.
Someone's at the back door.
Come in.
Hey, sorry we're late. We got in an accident on the way over here, so we made it, though. You're the internet journal lady, right?
I am.
We're such big fans, we totally get you.
I love your stuff.
Yeah, you
totally
do?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't even know anyone was reading my stuff or understood how I felt.
It's less like we read it and more like it just entered us and it was right.
It felt like I was just reading my own soul.
Yeah. It really spoke to me. I didn't even have to read it. It just spoke.
Oh my gosh.
It actually bonded the three of us together.
I love that you three are in love with each other and in love with my work.
Gail.
Yeah?
This is it. This is your final secret.
This is an amazing secret.
Look at those three.
We got an accident on the way over here.
That's why there's glass in our faces.
We had to share each other's organs to stay alive.
Oh my God.
Gail, this is a physical representation of what you do to me emotionally.
But in a good way.
In a good way.
Oh, so this is the bad way, but you mean it in a good way?
That's right, Gail.
Now I'm laughing.
Gail.
Yeah.
Gail, wake up.
What?
Wake up.
Oh.
Gail.
Sorry, I was reading.
She was saying so many strange things.
I was composing a book.
Is that what that writing is?
Of course.
So meaningful.
Thank you.
What? What?
Wait. Wake up.
What? Where
wake
was I?
Up.
What just happened?
You were sleeping.
That could go on forever.
You see what I mean? For so far down the rabbit hole.
All right. Next up, Pat! And that's our show. Thank you to Five Man Job. Thank you to Nels Lennis, Lauren Anderson, and to Butch Roy, even though he couldn't be here today. You can see Five Man Job tonight at Twin Cities Improv Festival at Huge Theater on 31st and Lindale in Minneapolis, Uptown. You can learn more about the Twin Cities Improv Festival, tonight's shows, and the rest of the shows this weekend at TwinCitiesImprovFestival.com, and you can also learn more about Huge Theater at HugeTheater.com. And check out what Nels, Lauren, and Butch are doing at Show X on Mondays at Huge Theater. They're all regular performers there.
As always, check out my YouTube channel, YouTube.com/PhilipSimondet, and get a hold of Matt and I. nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com and on Facebook. Just search for Next at Bat.
That's right. I'm not doing anything right now, but you should check us out on iTunes where you can rate, subscribe, and review our show. And it helps us out a lot when you do all of those things, and we love it. Thanks for listening. Coming up this weekend, you're going to hear The Free Association. So we'll see you then. And as always,
praise Jai Bosh.
Next